This country is in the midst of an opioid crisis, but many people still aren't trained to administer the overdose reversal drug naloxone, including some frontline pharmacists. There is an effort to change that. Lev Fasher is a reporter with our partners at STAT, the health and medicine publication. Lev, welcome back.
Thank you.
So even pharmacists aren't fully trained to administer this drug. It's a surprise to me because they're the ones that are going to have to show a customer how to use it.
Sure, and I should say that regulations vary about who has to have what training before they're permitted to dispense naloxone. But yeah, last week I went to a training that really attempted to address this basic gap that not only should pharmacists know how to administer naloxone themselves, but they should know how to train the people who come into their pharmacy to get the overdose reversal drug to use it, whether it's on a neighbor or a family member who they're concerned about, or just to have in their home or walking around. So, you know, in a country with such a staggering overdose rate, when they encounter someone experiencing an overdose, they're ready.
What kind of training are these pharmacists going through? Because there's different ways to administer the drugs. You can inject it. There are also nasal sprays.
Yeah, the good news about naloxone is that it's easy to use. The most common version, Narcan, which is a liquid that you inject nasally. And as you say, there's also a much more expensive auto-injector version, which is essentially EpiPen, but for opioid overdose reversal. And that one is much easier to use. You really just take off a tab. You have an automated voice talking to you, walking you through the process, and you're supposed to just really stab this needle into someone's thigh. The voice counts to five, and you can take it out, and you're done, and you should see results. You should see someone come to within 30 to 45 seconds.
Okay, so if you're going to do that, you definitely want someone to teach you how to do it ahead of time, which is what we've been talking about, this gap in training. But there's also a gap in access to the drug in general. And one of the big reasons, I understand, is cost. How much of an obstacle has that been?
Yeah, so we should bear in mind that there are two versions, like I said, a nasal version and an auto-injector version. The nasal version you can get for $80 or $100 for a two-pack. The auto-injector was priced at $575 in 2014. As overdose deaths increased over the last few years, its list price rose to $4,100 in 2017,
wow,
which has led to a really big controversy, culminating in a bipartisan Senate report released just this past week that accuses the maker of that version, Kaleo, of essentially wasting $142 million of taxpayer money. It's worth noting that they have donated hundreds of thousands of dollars of these kits to nonprofits and community centers and schools and the like. But Medicare and Medicaid, who often bear the cost of drugs that doctors and insurers want to dispense for high-risk patients, have borne the cost of that really substantial increase. And it really is interesting how it's played into the broader dynamic of the drug pricing conversation and not just the conversation about how we solve the opioid crisis.
Lev Fasher, reporter with STAT, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And drug pricing is going to be one of the top issues on Capitol Hill in the coming Congress in the new year. It's something that leaders in both parties say they want to address, so we will see if they can.